How's everyone this morning? How is everyone this morning? So I love interaction. So I need you to speak to me and respond because we want to see God, you know, do amazing things in this church. Can I just say thank you to Pastor Sandy, Pastor Chris, for allowing us to be here. We're grateful. We don't take this for granted because there are many times that people can just come and stand here, but we don't take it lightly because we're coming to share God's word, God's power, God's wisdom, God's victory. I also want to thank my wife because, you know, it says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." And I was just thinking about a song that was played as she was walking down the aisle. It says, "I wonder what God was thinking." Says, "I wonder what God was thinking when he created you." And then he carries on. God was thinking of me when he created her. And I don't take it lightly that I'm standing here because God has blessed me, has given me favor. So thank you for being alongside me. God bless you and keep you. I also want to bring greetings from Portsmouth Central because we do have Portsmouth South Sea. So Portsmouth Central from Pastor Sean, Pastor Paula Finch, they send their greetings and say hello. And of course, from our founders, Pastor Andy and Pastor Gina Realms, they just send their greetings and their love. And they're just excited about what God is doing. And of course, I'm not going to forget my family. I was trying to keep it quiet, but they're like, no, we're not letting you go on your own. So I'm grateful for the Wood family. And I'm also grateful for my brain is already for Jonathan and his wife. You can kill me later. My brain is just completely frozen here. But I'm so grateful that you're here to support me. So I think my thing might not be working. Help me, because I thought it should have been moving by now. So week two is about reaching our family and talking about household salvation. And I think last week you were looking at growing God's family and the power of one. And you were learning about how God not only calls us to grow his family, but to also take responsibility for getting other people saved. So I'm just going to do something here so that I can keep track of my time. Okay. So one of the things that was shared last week from Pastor Nimi, I believe he said, God has called us to take responsibility. And I remember, I think he mentioned the word commission, and you're wondering, how does he know? So by the way, when we speak the word, there is the word on Spotify for you to re-listen in the week so that you don't just sit here and think, I didn't really understand. Check out later in the week. You can still get to listen to the word again and see what God is saying to you. And so this idea of commission, I think he read from Mark 16:15. It's not on my thing yet. And where Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." So there's a question about why do we need to go into all the world? Why would Jesus be requiring us to do that? Because God wants to extend his heavenly kingdom. You know, we've been singing this morning, all the glory in the church, all the glory in the earth belongs to you. So God wants to get all the glory, but God also wants to extend his heavenly kingdom. Wherever you are, wherever you go, God wants to extend his heavenly kingdom. Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you as well." So what is the kingdom? What is the kingdom? If you look in your dictionary or these days Google, a kingdom is a nation or a country governed by a king which has a king, it has a government, it has a territory, it has a country, it has a nation, and it has a people identified by a sovereign. It has a nation of people ruled by a king. It has a community of people with a distinct culture. I think you hear a lot, if you live in this nation, we always talk of the empire, the British Empire. We talk of the royal family, because if you go to Bahamas today, they speak very well English, because they were impacted by the empire. Because the empire reached that part of the world. I was born in Zimbabwe. I went to a school called Prince Edward. I used to sing all the songs that I sang here. I used to think about the Three Welsh Feathers, because my nation was impacted by the kingdom. But there is a higher kingdom, a heavenly kingdom. A heavenly kingdom is coming to invade every territory, every area of your life. And as you were singing, His glory needs to be seen in all the earth. So wherever you go, whatever you do, God's kingdom needs to expand. God has come to expand His kingdom. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 16. I think we've got this one. I think it starts from 18, the part that you've got. It says, I'll start from 16. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Reconciliation just means bringing peace, bringing shalom. Shalom means nothing missing, nothing broken. And in 20, it says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So God is calling you an ambassador today. God is calling you an ambassador. And why is He calling you ambassador? Because He's extending His kingdom. His kingdom is greater than the empire. His kingdom is greater than anything that we have today. So God is asking you, will you be my ambassador? So what is quality of an ambassador? There's so many qualities of an ambassador. So an ambassador is appointed by the king, for starters. He is appointed to represent the state. He is committed only to the state interests. He is embodiment of the state or the nation. An ambassador only speaks the government position. He is totally or she is totally covered by the government. They can never become a citizen of the state they're assigned to, because they're representing another nation. They can only be recalled by the king or the ruler of the nation that has sent them to where they go. The ambassador has got access to all the nation's wealth and power. The ambassador's goal is to influence the territory for the state. An ambassador is totally protected by the state, by the government. Ambassador possesses diplomatic immunity. An ambassador must remain in constant contact and communication with the government. So I know I've said it too quick. So I'm going to just walk through some of these so that for those who are taking notes. So what do we mean appointed by the king? We've just read that we are ambassadors for Christ. You know, the Bible says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. That's what the Bible says. So you as an ambassador has been specially chosen by God to represent Him and His kingdom interests. Deuteronomy 7:6 says, the Lord your God has chosen you out of all the people on the face of the earth to be His people, to be His treasured possession. Can you look at your neighbor and tell them, you are God's treasured possession? Yeah. And that's the same for your family. God has invested in them. The people around you are God's investment. Where else do we see in the Bible that the Bible says that you are chosen? John 15:16, he says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and you appointed that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." So not only has God appointed you, but he's given you whatever you ask. And one of the things we said about an ambassador, they are totally covered by the government. So if you're walking as an ambassador for Christ, if you're walking as an ambassador of the kingdom, it means wherever you go, you can ask of the Father and he will give it to you. Another point is an ambassador, he is committed only to the state's interests. I love this one. Because a lot of the times when you're living life, sometimes we have the name Christian, but our lives, they don't display any of that at all. But here we're being told that if you're an ambassador for Christ, you're only supposed to be committed only to the state interests. And Jesus in John 6:38 says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." So true commitment to heaven involves you prioritizing the heaven's desires. Is heaven's desire a priority in your life? You know, we started by that verse I read earlier, Matthew 6:33. It said, "Seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things will be added to you." What are your priorities today as an ambassador for Christ? I love this one. An ambassador only speaks the government's position. What words are coming out of your mouth? What words are coming out of your mouth? We were singing this song that I call you on Jesus, because when I call on the name Jesus, bones will break and things will arise and all the amazing things will happen because we're calling the name Jesus. I know some of you have come in this morning. Maybe you didn't want to get out of bed. Maybe you're depressed this morning. Maybe you had an argument at home. Who knows? Maybe finances are a big problem for you right now. But what does the government position say? If you're an ambassador for heaven, what is heaven saying about your finances? What is heaven saying about your health? An ambassador has access to all the nation's wealth and power. Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, "Where the word of the king is, there is power." So do you have a word from God? Do you have a word from God? It says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." It says, "A thousand can come on my side, 10,000 on the other side, but none of them will lay a hand on my head, because the Lord is with me." What word do you have for your situation? Are you speaking the government position? Are you speaking the government position? An ambassador is totally protected by the government. The Bible says, "No weapon fashioned against me shall prosper." No weapon. Because that's what the Word of God says. You know, I can go on and on. I feel like if I carry on going, I'm not going to actually get to my message. But I just wanted to give you an idea of God has called you to be an ambassador. But you're not just an ambassador. He's called you, he's equipped you, he's given you everything that you need so that you can represent the kingdom. So what does the king want? So our theme for this month is salvation. And week two is about household salvation. So one of the things that is on heart of God is household. And the Bible gives you so many examples, including a guy called Andrew, and Jesus called him. He went to get his brother. You find that in John 1, 41 to 42, for those that are taking notes. You have a guy called Cornelius who gathered his household. You can get that from Acts 10, 24. You've got Joshua 24, 15, where he was saying, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." So when God called Ezra, he didn't just call Ezra. He called his wife. He called his children. He's called his family. So God didn't just call you. He's got a plan for your household. So, as Pastor Sandy said, she doesn't know me very well, so I'm going to let you know a little bit about me. So I am a third generation Christian. So third generation Christian just means my granddad, my grandpa, gave his life to Christ many, many years ago. And then they decided to build a church from his house. And then the power of God just started moving. But if I take you slightly backwards, I'm sure you'd have heard of some of the men of God who were moving in power. And one of those people was people like, you heard about the Welsh Revival, you've heard about all these different revivals that happened around the world, or the Azusa Revival. And one of the people that had one of those revival, God touched him, ended up in Africa. And while he was in Africa, that's how my granddad came to meet the church. And then when the church started, my granddad ended up building this church, and this church is all over the world with congregation, even in this nation and many, many other places. So the choice of my granddad has resulted to me standing here today. Because one man decided, I'm going to honor the king. I'm going to follow the mandate of the king. I'm going to be a great ambassador. And then my dad came along. And then my uncle came along. So with my cousin, her dad was involved as well. And they've built churches. They've just done phenomenal stuff. Because they want to see God extend his kingdom. So this bank holiday that just passed, I went to see my brother. So there were four of us. Now only three. But my brother, as I went to see him, I was speaking to his wife, and she was saying, "Your nephew, who is nine, we call him KK." And she was like, "Oh, he's been bullied in school, and he's having challenges, and I don't know what to do with this boy." I'm like, "What do you mean?" And she's like, "Well, he doesn't fight back." And I'm like, "What do you mean?" He's like his father's. I'm like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Well, he's like, the word of God says, I'm not supposed to fight them." I'm like, that's interesting. What is it that you're doing in your house that's influencing the next generation that can get them to stand for this kingdom that God is calling us to? My wife wasn't born and raised in a Christian family. She's actually the first one to give her life to Christ. And I actually met her through the church. So, and I remember because we picked them up when they were at uni to come to church, because the church used to have a minibus to drive to universities, and the team would tell the students about your church. So everyone did their pitch, and everyone went, and my wife and her friend were the only two people left, and we didn't have anyone to pitch to. Then we put them on our minibus, and we took them to church. And after a while, my wife gave her life to Christ. But the reason she came to church was to actually look after a friend who actually wanted to go to church. And then fast forward, we got married, God blessed us, and we've been doing our very best to be kingdom people, to be ambassadors for the kingdom. So my mother-in-law visits us now and again, as well as my father-in-law, but this time it was my mother-in-law, and the pandemic hit. And she couldn't go home because everything was shut down. But during that moment, my mother-in-law started experiencing a different kingdom, a different life. And before we know it, my mother-in-law gave her life to Christ. and I had the privilege of baptizing her. But not only that, my mother-in-law would be someone you would have termed a professional Buddhist worshipper. She was the one who would draw the whole family and do all of those things. But once she gave her life to Christ, her sister's given her life to Christ. One day, my wife got a call like, Jan. She's like, what, mom? She's like, I need you to pray, to do salvation prayer for this person. He's like, but mom, you know how to do salvation prayer. She's like, yeah, but I'm in China. And your family needs to give their life to Christ. But because Jan couldn't speak the dialect in China, she had to speak to her mom in Cantonese, who then translated, and we're just starting to see more and more people come to Christ. So God wants you to reach out your family and get them saved. And one of those ways is to be an ambassador for Christ. Is your life representing what God wants you to do? God wants you to be an effective ambassador and represent Him well in your world, especially your household. So, when I got asked to speak, I had like a theme that I had to look at, and I wanted us to focus a little bit in the last minutes that I have on the story, which is from the book of Acts, and that's from Acts 16, 29 to 34. And this story is a story of a guy called Paul and Silas. And as we read, it says, the jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds, and immediately he and all of his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. So, Paul, who is he? Paul is written about majority of the New Testament of the Bible. And when you read it, he always starts by saying, Paul, a servant and ambassador for Christ. So it would be remiss of me to not give you an example of what a good, effective ambassador looks like. So this story is going to help us to understand a little bit of what an effective ambassador looks like. So if I was to give my message a title, my title today was going to be, says, what must I do to be saved? That was going to be the title of my message if I was going to give it one. What would get someone to say, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So this story happens in AD 51. And this is a Roman jailer who belonged to something called the Praetorian Guard, which was an emperor's elite personal guard, which was the most powerful military police force at the time. But he was also secret police. So this guy is very well off. He's very connected. He's very powerful. Why would he bother to call someone who is Jewish and a prisoner? Why would he call them sirs? That's a bit strange, isn't it? Why would you call a prisoner who is Jewish? And the Jewish at this time, there was a lot of revolt. So they were not even really seen that well up in the society. But there is a guy who is very well connected. What is it that gets someone to say, sirs, what must I do to get saved? If you read more the story, you start to realize that Paul was on his second missionary journey. And on his second missionary journey, he was preaching the gospel. As they were preaching the gospel, there was this annoying, disruptive girl who kept on saying, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. And you're thinking, that's quite nice. Why is it annoying? And then the more she kept on doing this, Paul became furious and turned around and said, "Right, spirit, demon, leave it right now." And then the girl was set free. Unfortunately, this girl was being used for soothsaying to make money to be able to see in the spirit. So, of course, the owners were not very happy. They're like, you've managed to stop our income. Why did you cast this demon out? So as we sing, he's the Jesus who breaks the chains. When we sing, he's the Jesus who delivers, who sets people free. Not everyone is going to be happy, by the way. Because some people want you to remain bound because they benefit from it. But Jesus came that you may have life, life in its fullness. Jesus has come so that you can be set free, so that you can be able to proclaim liberty to the captives. So, how do you manage in a situation like this when people have become unhappy? So they end up being flogged, being beaten, and putting in a prison which was dark, dingy, complete nightmare, and they were even in what you call stocks. So stocks, they'll keep your feet apart, you can't keep your feet together, and it's just a complete mess and a complete nightmare just for serving God. But there's something that happens when they were in that prison. What do you do when your life is down? What do you do when you are in a difficult situation? Guess what was Paul and Silas doing in their difficult moments? 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Jesus, in Christ Jesus for you." I wonder what Paul and Silas were saying. And in verse 25 of Acts 16, he says, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake, and all the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison's doors flew open, and everyone's chains became loose." I wonder whether they were singing, "I call on you, Jesus," that we were singing today. Or if you come in other places, maybe they were saying, "There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain." Or maybe they were saying, "Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness," because they were in the dark. What songs are you singing in your times of need? What songs are you declaring in your times of distress? Because God has called you to be his ambassador. Says, "What must I do to be saved?" It means this guy has meant a higher power, a higher authority. You know, there's a song that people sing. "They are kings. They are kingdoms." Because the kingdom of God knows no end. Because he says only Yeshua will reign forever. Only Yeshua will reign forever. What songs are you singing? What words are you declaring? Because guess what? When all of this is happening, those closest to you are watching you. Could it be that it's difficult to invite your family to church because our lives are not aligning with the kingdom that we're representing? Could it be that they are not buying the words when we say Jesus saved, Jesus saves, Jesus can do it, Jesus can heal you, because our lives are not in alignment with what the kingdom says? So a challenge to us is, how can we live in a way that displays the kingdom? How can we live in a way that exalts the name of Jesus, such that our family can say, "Sirs, What must we do to get saved? Sir is just a title of respect. It means someone has met a higher power, a higher authority. Someone has met something that's different to what they've experienced before. 1 Peter 2, let's pick it up from verse 11. It says, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors." Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors, even if they accuse you of doing wrong. They will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. When your family look at you, when those who are picking on you, are they seeing the honorable behavior? Are they seeing the word of God working in your life so that you can see his kingdom come? May God help us to be true ambassadors. Just like Paul and Silas, God wants you to be true ambassadors so that you can be an effective winner, not just to your family, but to your territory, to those around you, to your neighbors, so that when they see your life, they can glorify the Father in heaven. So what does it take to live as an ambassador? How do we manage this? I'm just going to touch briefly on a number of stages where all of us might be, just to help us to see what we can do. So if you read Galatians chapter 4, it says, "What I'm saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father." And then if you jump to verse 19, it says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ is formed in you." So Galatians is just telling us that when we give our lives to Christ, we become like children. We become like infants who need to be nourished, who need to grow. And God has already given you everything you need for this life and godliness. But the challenge is, some of us are still underage. And if you're underage, you're no different from a slave, even though you own the whole estate, even though God has given you all the power, all the authority, even if when God has given you the grace. You know, Pastor Sandy earlier was saying, call forth, speak to your situation, speak God's word to your situation. God has already given you the authority to do that. But could it be that you're still underage? You know, when I was growing up, we used to sing this song. "Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, then you grow, grow, grow." What you feed grows. And remember, your spirit is fighting your flesh. So if you're spending time listening to, I was going to say someone's name, but I won't. Listening to YouTube, listening to radio, whatever it is that you do, if you spend more time listening to stuff that's building depression, that's building stress, then you're not going to grow. Because it only takes knowing the word of God for you to grow. Because then when you pray, you also know how to pray the will of the Father. Who's brought their Bible with them today? Do you have your physical Bible with you? Who, if you've got it, just lift it for me if you've got it. Maybe just a few people. Anyway, so for those that have it, pretend that you've got one. I want you to say this after me. This is my Bible. This is my Bible. This is my Bible. Come on.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. God has given you everything you need. For no weapon fashioned against you will prosper. For you're the head and not the tail. For you are fearfully and wonderfully made. For you are God's workmanship created for good works. For he's called you to walk in victory in freedom. For he's called you to rule and reign. For he's called you to be his victory. For you are the apple of his eye. But you just need to find out where it is in here. Because if you don't know what the king's heart is, if you don't know what the king's thoughts towards you are, he says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a future and a hope. And if you read in Isaiah 7:11, sorry, I don't have that. It says, be extravagant. Ask me for the moon. When was the last time you asked God for the moon? He's daring you to ask him for bigger things. For he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we can think or imagine. We were singing a song that our God is able to do immeasurably more. Because when you read your Bible, when you pray every day, when you're not forsaking gathering of the saints, because the Bible says, gather with the saints so that your faith can rise up, so that when the enemy comes, you'll be able to stand. It says, put on the full armor of God and above all to stand. James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So there are some things that you're putting up with, which you don't have to put up with because of the lack of wisdom, because of the lack of knowledge. But guess what? I can do what the Bible says I can do. What does the Bible say you can do? For I am more than a conqueror. Regular growth ensures you continue to bear fruit in every good word, in every good work. The Bible says you are empowered. Sorry, before I get to that, I'll jump one. The Bible says you're transformed. Romans 12, verse 1 to 2, you might not have this. It says in the message, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you. God develops well-formed maturity in you. God wants you to grow. God wants you to not have to put up with other things you're currently putting up with. Because then, when you no longer put up with those things, then maybe your family will be like, you know what? Says, what must I do to be saved? Because I'm seeing something different in your life. How can I have some of what you have? Empowered. You know, Acts 1:8 says, you know, I said to you, Pastor Nimi started with when Jesus said, go in the world and preach the gospel. In 1:8 it says, but you receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So there's something about the Holy Spirit, and I'm not going to read this verse because I'm out of time. 1 Corinthians 12:4 to 8 talks about the gifts of the Spirit. God wants you to be filled with his Holy Spirit because he hasn't called you to do this journey alone. You know, in John that we read earlier, John 16, there's a, if you read actually the book of John, you hear Jesus saying, I will not leave you alone, but I will send you a helper who will guide you, who will lead you. You know, one of the qualities of an ambassador, they always keep constant communication with the home base, even today. So the current ambassadors now, they usually either talk to the chief of staff or they will talk to the foreign secretary, who will tell them every day, or they will get a memo every day which tells them what is the status of the nation's position, because they don't speak their own mind. They only speak the nation's position. So are you taking time to hear heaven every day? Are you taking time to say, good morning, Holy Spirit? Good morning, my Father God. What is it that you want me to do today so that I can see your kingdom come? So as I finish, just want you to remember that the Holy Spirit is so important. If you don't have him and you're a believer today, I urge you to pray, to say, God, bless me with the Holy Spirit, because he's able to pray in groanings and utterances that we cannot understand, so that we can pray the perfect will of the Father. He's able to help you to prophesy. He's able to help you to have the spirit of discernment to navigate your life challenges, because he doesn't want you to do this journey alone. You're not just an ambassador, but you are empowered. You have the whole of heaven supporting you and standing with you. I will end here because I still want to go, but I have to honor the time I've been given. And thank you for having me. And I'll leave it to Pastor Sandy to take from me. Thank you.